Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Center for the Celebration of Male Ancestry here at Car Talk Plaza. Mm. Now, this being the time of year when we celebrate our fathers, we thought it would be a public service to remind people that 95% of all misleading information about cars in this world comes from fathers. The other 5%, of course, comes from us. And for our kids, 100% of the misinformation they get comes from us. Right?
Hey, that's how it is. They have to live with it.
By the way, did you get Dad a present this year for Father's Day?
Of course I did. What do you think I am?
You did? And what, pray tell, did you get our dear old Dad?
I got him a pager.
A pager?
A beeper, you know.
The guy's 88 years old. He never leaves the house. What does he need a pager for?
Well, because now when my mother's in the other room and she wants another beer, she can just beep them. Hey, I got a couple of quick snippets here. Carmel, New York.
Know it well. I've been there.
You have?
Yes.
Well, this is the kind of place Carmel is. Carmel, New York. A woman who reported her Cadillac stolen and collected $16,000 in insurance money was arrested after the car was found buried 13 feet deep in her backyard.
Must have just... It sank right in.
It sank. How did it get to be 13 feet deep? I guess the way she got caught is her neighbors must have...
Quicksand.
Yeah, that's what she claimed. And here's another cutie. Evidently, Dave Barry, your hero,
yes,
has a calendar. And here's on April 27th, I don't know what year it is, it's problems that cause your car to stop. Generally, these problems involve the engine, which is a large object you'll find under the hood, unless you live in a high-crime area. Open the hood and poke around among the wires with a screwdriver, or if you have no screwdriver, the tip of an umbrella will do. Have somebody sit in the car, and as you poke, yell, "Try it now!" or "Okay, try it now!" This is how most professional mechanics solve engine problems, and before long, you'll be fixing cars as well as they do, by which I mean about 30% of the time. Thanks, Dave. You're a hell of a guy.
Another one of our secrets is out.
It's not nice. You shouldn't tell people.
Well, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Betsy. I'm calling from Minnesota.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I've got a question about my car, though, obviously.
Yeah.
I've got a 93 Plymouth Colt Vista. Wait, why is he doing that?
No, because my brother has a Colt Vista.
Wow.
I have resurrected this whole line from the ashes. I mean, no one had ever heard of a Colt Vista until I was unfortunate enough to come upon one myself. So what's the matter with it?
Well, you know, it's actually an interesting kind of car. Because it's
a study in ugliness.
It's a study in ugliness, that's true. And it's a sort of minivan, isn't it?
I call it a minivan wannabe.
Minivan wannabe, yeah, it is exactly that. Yeah. So what's your problem with it, Betsy?
Well, I like it a lot. The only problem is sometimes it seems to hang up in gear, like I can't get it into reverse if I'm, you know, going to park or something like that. And this kind of ties in with the potentially bad advice from the dad department. Because I was taught by my father to always leave it in gear when you park. Could this be doing something to it? Because sometimes when I, you know, go to start the car and leave, it's a little tough to get
it. No, I mean, that was actually good advice.
Hey, really?
Well, yeah, but maybe it wasn't complete. You say you have trouble getting it out of reverse after you've parked or into reverse?
Well, it's both, and it's intermittent. So every once in a while, I'll go to start my car, and I'll have left it in gear, and, you know, I'll go to pull it out of gear, and it won't come out. And then sometimes when I'm going to park my car and I try to put it in reverse, it won't go into reverse.
What happens when you try to put it in? Is it grind?
No, it just won't go. It doesn't grind. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, that's good.
And yet it won't come out of reverse either.
Sometimes, yeah.
And how do you get it out? I mean, obviously, you must be calling from your car, right?
No.
What I do is I end up putting it, you know, I put the clutch down, and then it won't come out, and so I either turn it off and take the clutch.
And when you do that, when you turn off the ignition,
mm-hmm.
It comes right out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the deal?
Well, what's wrong with it? I mean, I don't know why it's wrong. I like to tie things up into neat little bundles.
Yeah, I know.
So you put forth the theory and then an explanation.
You ask a couple of leading questions, you get the right answer, and it all fits together, and then you tie it
all
up.
And then the 8 people that are listening think I'm a genius. But yeah. It won't happen.
It's not going to happen this time.
Maybe we can cut this part out. What's wrong is that the clutch is not disengaging. And what told me that was that you said when you turn off the key, it comes right out of gear. And what's keeping it from coming out is the fact that you're not disengaging the clutch, even though you're stepping all the way down. I assume you are.
Yeah.
Stepping all the way down on the pedal. There's something wrong. Either the clutch cable is stretched, or the clutch is out of adjustment, or the clutch pressure plate is collapsing, or there's grease or oil on the clutch, or one of those things.
But, I mean, I'm not sure I agree with my brother, even though I always defer to him because he's older and wiser than I. But if the clutch were not completely disengaging, you would also have trouble getting into gears.
She does. First must be somewhat...
Getting into first, you would grind.
No, it must be just difficult to get into first, too, I bet.
Yeah, but it doesn't grind. It just is tough. It won't go in.
Won't go in.
And if you shut it off, it goes right in.
I don't know if I've ever tried it for that. I know I've tried it for reverse.
Well, try it for first. And if in fact, it's very easy to get it in with the key off, then the problem is with the clutch.
Yes, indeed.
Ah.
So it may be, if you're lucky.
It's adjustment. I mean, it's guaranteed to be a simple adjustment. And it'll be cheap, Betsy. This is a guaranteed
No,
this
isn't guaranteed.
It's guaranteed
if the adjustment doesn't fix it, it's going to cost you $600.
No, two.
See you, Betsy.
Good luck.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michael Rothman from Oak Park.
Hey, Mike. Can we call you Mike?
Yes, you can.
Oak Park, Illinois?
Yes.
So what's your quest?
It's a problem or question concerning the spark plugs from my 1990 Lumina. I decided it was time to change the spark plugs and the spark plug wires. And when the local shop pulled them out and gave me the plugs, I noticed that the central ceramic insulator, the part that's in the engine...
Yeah, it was broken.
It's tinted green.
Green?
Green. Two of them are green. Two of them are the light tan gray. And two of them are somewhere in between.
Yeah, we call that textbook tan.
Right.
The textbook tan is the color that they always show you in the book.
Right.
That center electrode is supposed to be. And any other color is means the end of the world. So you have two greens.
Yeah, the greens kind of look like a grass stain.
You got two greens and two tans, and what are the rest?
Two sort of in between.
Well, I'll tell you, all those textbook photos of spark plugs and the various stages of spark plug wear and degradation... have to be changed because they've changed the composition of gas so much in the last 10 years.
You know, I had already discussed this very answer with myself and wondered.
It was not an intellectual discussion.
It was not. But I the reason I didn't present it is I wondered, and I'm wondering now, I wondered how I was going to, and now I'm wondering how you are going to explain that if the same gasoline is in the tank... Why does it turn two plugs green and two plugs tan?
Well.
And I know that you have an answer because I know that you're quicker than me. I mean, you're much quicker. And when I was struggling with that, you knew that you didn't know the answer either. But by the time you got to that point, you'd have thought of something.
Well, I'm going to suggest that the two plugs that are green have something in common other than the fact that they're both part of the same engine.
You're going to tell them where... Those plugs came from which cylinders? Is that it?
Well, I'm going to suggest they came from cylinders that are symmetrically located, i.e., the two back cylinders or the two middle cylinders or some such thing, because of the various amounts of cooling that take place in the combustion chambers
due to the relative position
of the cylinders.
I knew you could do
in
it.
The block.
Okay, so it's not coolant leaking into the cylinders.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. I rather doubt that.
Yeah, so do I.
I rather doubt that, and although anything's possible. However, if you had coolant leaking into the cylinders, you would be getting, number one, you'd be noticing a loss of coolant from the radiator.
Which I don't have.
Which you don't have. And you'd be also noticing smoke coming out.
No white smoke.
Voluminous clouds.
Yeah. Nope.
And you don't have that either.
Why did you ask to see the plugs? I mean,
I always ask to see the plugs because I'm concerned about how the engine's operating.
Excellent. I think that's good. That's good. And
when he
showed
them to
me, hold on to them so he can't put them back in and claim that he gave
you
a new one.
For that matter, how do you know that these are your plugs?
He's probably got the same set that he shows to everybody.
Well, these look like the original ACs from the car.
Yeah, no, it sounds like the thing is running great to me. That's what I would say. And
I
like my brother's theory that the degree of cooling.
No, don't stop waffling now. Either you're with me or you're against me, man.
I mean, it's true that various things can happen depending on where the cylinder is in relation to everything else. So I would think that whatever the reason, whether my brother's theory is correct or not, that, yeah, they're fine. Forget it.
The mechanic also said that when they pulled off the spark plug wires, he noticed that two of them had been reversed.
No, impossible.
Okay, he said something about them, like opposite cylinders are on the same.
Well, actually, you could reverse two of them because this thing has a distributorless ignition.
Right.
So you can actually swap the wires around and it wouldn't make any difference.
Because it's sending a spark to both of those cylinders.
Okay.
Anyway, don't worry about the plugs.
I won't.
And enjoy your Lumina.
Thank you.
A pleasure,
Take
Mike.
Care.
See you later.
Right. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Cleveland.
Hi, Linda from Cleveland. What's
up? Linda.
Well, I want you to reassure me that I've made the right decision.
We can do that.
Okay. I am moving from Cleveland, Ohio to St. Thomas in the Caribbean.
Yes!
Oh, can I marry you? You want to adopt me?
Either one of those.
Really? St. Thomas?
Yes.
Oh, you can't expect us to not pursue that. I mean, this is not just a visit. You're going to move there.
I'm moving there.
What, pray
So you're
tell?
Taking every, you're taking your needle point and everything, right? You're going down a...
How did you know? Were you watching me back?
I mean, what are you going to do? Not, the answer is nothing. She's not going
to
do anything.
There's nothing to do in St. Thomas.
Well, actually, I have a friend who's a potter and has a shop, and I'm going to help her out in the shop.
Oh,
look at my God!
I love it!
Please.
A potter! A potter!
I've always wanted to throw a pot.
Oh, my.
Oh, God. Does it get
Isn't
any better?
That
No.
Good.
Well,
no.
I do have an issue about the car.
What car? Oh, I'm sorry. It's called Car Talk, isn't it?
It is Car Talk still, yeah.
Okay.
I have an 86 Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to decide whether to take it with me to have it shipped down there, or should I buy one down there when I get there, or get a newer one and have that one shipped down.
I don't think you want a newer one. Have you been there a lot?
A couple times.
Have you noticed how they drive?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think the 86 Corolla is the perfect vehicle for it.
Okay.
Have it all fixed up
before
you go.
Well, it might be cheaper to do it down there. They only get $6 an hour for labor.
No, they don't have any parts.
They don't have any
parts.
They
make the stuff. No, they're going to charge the dickens out of it. Have the car gone through completely, have everything fixed, and buy yourself, what parts would I bring along? You're going to maintain... contacts with the mothership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to send for parts if you need them.
Exactly.
I mean, this has got to be the biggest culture difference from Cleveland, Ohio to St. Thomas.
So you think that's a good decision, huh?
Oh, Linda! Whoopee! Tell me, how did this happen?
How did you throw in with these pot dealers?
Well, you know, we started talking about the possibility, and I thought, you know, what could be the downside here?
Yeah.
And I couldn't find one.
It would be tough to find one.
Yep.
Boy, I wish you the very, very best. This is what, you've made my day. I vicariously feel happy knowing that you will be leaving Cleveland. Not that there's anything wrong with Cleveland. But you will be leaving Cleveland very shortly and ending up down there in St. Thomas, and I just feel good about
it. And more importantly, working with clay.
Working with clay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best part of it.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, Linda.
Well,
Linda,
Come down and visit.
Well, whenever the cruise ships pull in, go down to the dock look for us.
We'll be the ones wearing the loud shirt saying, Linda! Have a wonderful time and do right.
Okay, I will.
And most importantly, don't come back.
Okay.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Okay.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God. I can't carry on. I'm all choked up.
It just makes you feel good, doesn't it?
I'm telling you, I've conjured up the entire... I can just see the little palapa, right?
Yeah. Oh, la palapa.
I can see the little palapa. I can see Linda in there up to her armpits in clay.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigar. I don't know why, but she's smoking a cigar.
I mean, it must have been the same when Gauguin said to his friends, I'm leaving Paris. And they said, where are you going? And he said, well, going to Tahiti.
Yeah.
To throw a pot.
Yeah.
And they said, where the hell is Tahiti?
And he wouldn't tell them.
He said, none of your business.
No way. Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Well, I have this vague feeling that I should remember it.
Well, that's progress, I guess. You should remember it because it involved you.
It did? Did I get top billing? Points on the back end?
You are the back end. Trust me. The puzzler was about our nephew, Matthew, pork chop boy, and one of my brother's old jalopies. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
I remember it.
Highway night, I don't see no stars. Only white lines shooting under my car. AM radio just broke down. And there ain't nobody 4 miles around.
And even though June brides start shopping for radio-free convents whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/match. 2021 Nielsen Report, limitations apply.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
What happens after a police officer shoots someone who's unarmed? For decades in California, internal affairs investigations, how the police themselves, were secret. Until now. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was, as I mentioned last week, semi-automotive, historic and folkloric, and I don't know what else it was, but it may be moronic, too. But the inspiration for it was sent in by someone named Warner Grenady, I think that's how you pronounce his name, though I will admit to adding obfuscatory details and other unnecessary unclarifications.
Hey, I remember the puzzler.
I know you
did. Did it have to do with an injury?
It did. Some of you might remember, and my brother is among them.
Wow.
Our nephew Matt, whom we called Pork Chop Boy because his social life was so bad that he had to tie a pork chop around his neck even to get the dog to play with him. Nobody really liked him, including his wife. Anyway.
And his mother.
Some years ago, he dislocated his right shoulder playing chess. It was strip chess, actually, but we won't go into that. Anyway, his shoulder hurt so much that he couldn't move the shifter on his automatic transmission car and drive to work. He tried to reach over and shift with the other hand, but twisting in the seat hurt even more. So Tommy, in a gesture of generosity, says, "No problem, you can use my car." He did, and he had no problem driving Tommy's car to work. Yet he couldn't shift his own car, which had an automatic transmission. The question was, which one of Tommy's jalopies had enough gas in the tank that allowed Matt to use it and get to work, and why was he able to use it? And of course, Tommy knows the answer.
Of course I do.
It wasn't his sleek black beauty, because that was what? In the crusher.
And it was a stick shift.
It wasn't his MGTD, because you need three arms to drive that.
Yeah.
It was his 63 Dodge Dart, because it had a push-button shifter located
on the left side of the dashboard.
So all you had to do
was press a button.
Is press a button and you'd be in drive, and press another button and you would be in either reverse or park, and that's all you needed. And Matt was able to get to work, earn some money, and
stay out of the poorhouse.
Stay out of the poorhouse and get rid of the dubious moniker of Pork Chop Boy. Anyway, who is our winner?
The winner this week is David Bird from East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's got some weird sounding cities. And for having the answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, David is going to get, what, a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And there he can order a brand new CD called Maternal Combustion, which are calls about mothers and cars.
Does this collection include the call from the gal who went away for the weekend, and when she came back, she was convinced her sons and husband had a peeing contest in her minivan?
Yeah, that's in there, along with lots of other calls featuring moms, mishaps, and musty minivans.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. I haven't decided exactly what it's going to be.
If I can help you in any way, let me know.
No. So hang in there. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve from Richmond, Virginia.
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hello, what's up?
Well, I have a very foul story to tell you.
Foul? What kind of chickens does it involve?
Turkeys.
You've called the right guy.
Even my mother's laughed at me about this. I have a Dodge Caravan that a fresh turkey was locked in it for 7 days.
No kidding.
Oh, you know who you have to talk to? I'm going to get in trouble. I would talk to some organized crime figure, because only they know. I mean, the problem must be you have a terrible odor in the car now.
I have a terrible odor. I have tried everything except an exorcism, and I can't get it out.
Well, but forget.
But have you cried organized crime?
I know how to get rid of the odor. Let's go back and let's find out how the turkey got locked in your car. Were you taking him on like a sightseeing tour?
He was giving him, maybe it was Thanksgiving. He was showing him a good time just before Thanksgiving.
How did the turkey wind up in your...
I went grocery shopping and the bag boy left it over the seat. And the next morning the body shop came and picked the car up and then didn't work on it for a week. And
no kidding.
4 days into that, it occurred to me that I didn't have my turkey to cook.
But, Steve, you didn't notice this missing 20-pound turkey?
This was not a live turkey. This was a fresh-killed turkey, right?
Right. I killed it myself. No.
No, I mean, this was...
I didn't notice it.
But you didn't notice it. That's interesting.
And I assumed that they must have just left it out of the car.
Sure. You said, gee, they forgot to give me the turkey, but so what?
So I went back and got a new turkey from the grocery store.
Oh, I see.
Little did I know.
And the guys at the body shop didn't sort of comment on this carcass in the back seat?
When they opened the car up after a week, they did.
Oh, they must have died.
They were near it, so they sent it to a place that specializes in
fumigations.
Corpses.
Yeah.
And they've done ionizing, and they bombed it with perfume, and I've shampooed it. Now I've got a shoebox with a brick and baking soda.
Oh, no, you'd have to pack this baby full of baking soda.
Yeah, from floor to ceiling and then leave it there for 7 days.
I once had my wife, in fact, it was a Dodge Caravan that we owned, and my wife left a couple of windows open, like seven of them, during a thunderstorm one evening. And needless to say, the thing filled up with water. But it all got absorbed by the carpet, so it was hardly noticeable, especially if you were wearing galoshes. You wouldn't notice that there was water on the floor.
That's why I always drive with bare feet.
Yes.
I want to be one with my car.
A few weeks later, I happened to get in it to drive it, and the smell of mold, spores, and mildew, and whatever else was growing in the interstices
of
that carpet.
Yeah.
Would absolutely gag you.
Knock your socks off, so to speak. That's why I drive barefooted.
Worse than knock your socks off. I thought I was going to die. And I tried everything.
The first thing I did is
I went right to the drugstore and bought 10 bottles of St. John's Bay rum. Which I happen to
See, immediately you went about it wrong.
You tried
to cover up the odor instead of getting rid of it.
That's right. Because I knew I would never get rid of it.
Yeah,
I figured
if I
covered it up with something that I happen to like,
I tell you, those...
pretty soon the smell of the mold would abate, and what would remain? The wonderful smell of 10 bottles of St. John's Bay rum. The mold outlasted the St. John's Bay rum by about a fortnight.
I tell you what's worse than the mold. My wife did the same thing, but not with the windows and the water and the mold, but she, it wasn't her fault, I shouldn't say my wife did it. My wife, out of the kindness of her heart, went shopping for the rest of the family. See, that's the way you get out of trouble.
Right.
Out of the kindness of her heart, she went shopping, gathered up all these groceries, and brought home a gallon of milk which had a hole in it.
You're well-versed in getting out of trouble because you get yourself into so much trouble.
Anyway, the milk permeated this carpeting.
I'm sure Steve has been comforted by the fact that we've had similar mishaps in our own lives.
Well, sometimes all it takes is to have someone else tell you about his problems, and then you understand that yours are, in fact...
Well, here's what I did, Steve, and you're going to have to do the same thing,
I'll tell you what I did, too, and you might have to do what I did.
I sold that sucker.
I sold mine, too.
That has been one of the recommendations, that and gasoline and a torch.
I tell you, Steve, it was impossible. I tried every conceivable... I mean, everybody gave me advice on what to do, and I tried every single one of them. And every once in a while, I would think that maybe the smell was gone until I left the car overnight with the windows closed. Especially in the summertime.
I know what I would do. I'd wait until the winter and sell this to someone with a bad head cold. Someone that's going,
when you get the phone calls and someone is speaking clearly, you say, it's already sold. But
right,
when someone calls
sneezing,
up and says, hi, I'm calling about the caravan, you say, come right over.
Geez, Steve, I would gut it. That's your only hope.
Yeah.
Get out the carpet. The headliner.
If you care enough about it.
Hmm. Yeah.
But the trouble is, you really aren't going to sell it to anybody. I'm sorry?
Continuing to shampoo it won't do it.
Well, it may. I mean, is it abated at all?
Well, it's down to just sort of putrid.
What was it?
It
was absolutely vomititious before, right?
Yeah.
How long has it taken to get to putrid?
2.5 weeks.
Mm. Oh. You know, now that the warm weather's coming, you'd be amazed at the purifying... ability of just fresh air.
No. He's dreaming, Steve. Sell it.
Did you ever go to a turkey farm that's been abandoned for like 20 years? It smells just as bad.
Still there.
A turkey farmer never noticed.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Good luck, but I think you're going to have to gut it.
If you like the car enough to keep it, you're going to have to gut it.
Well,
and if you
put
don't...
I rebuilt engine, and I really hate to
sell
it. The timing was not great.
Go price the innards.
A junkyard. You're going to buy them secondhand.
You can buy seats secondhand. I don't know if you'd want to buy a headliner secondhand, but you might be able to. Because it pops out relatively easily, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, my kids took mine out once.
One night.
Good luck, Steve.
Thank you.
I can tell you're not buoyed by this information you have.
No.
But try to cheer up and hold your nose.
Cheer up. It's only a car.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Pretty good.
Great.
What's it to you? Who's this?
This is Randall. I'm calling from Whitleyville, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yes, out in the middle of nowhere.
No kidding.
You did sound it.
Whitleyville.
Yes.
I mean, is it really the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, we're right up the road from defeated and nameless.
Here's a measure. How long a drive is it to the nearest Walmart?
Well, it's about 45 minutes.
Oh, that's not the middle of nowhere then. What's the nearest big city?
Nashville.
Oh, that's not...
That's almost 2 hours away.
Excellent. Okay, so what's up, Randall?
Well, I have a 79 Volvo station wagon.
Yes.
One of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
It's a great car.
Yeah.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, the problem is that when I turn my blinker on, this light on the dash, the amp light, buzzes, and the car starts jerking back and forth, and it just dies.
Huh?
Jeez.
The car dies.
Yeah, it. I was driving to the store. As a matter of fact, I was going to Walmart. And I had my blinker on. And I was, going to turn into Walmart, and it just start buzzing, the amp light.
Well, the amp light isn't buzzing.
Something's buzzing. The amp light came on.
The amp light comes on, and it
something buzzed.
And the car just bucks back and forth like it's jerking.
Yeah, excellent.
And then it just dies. And the first time it did it, it wouldn't start back. So I went into the store, and I was going to call my husband, and he wasn't home. And I fooled with the fuses, and it didn't do anything. When I came back out, it started.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept doing it, so I don't use the blinker. Then I told my husband, and he went out there, and he touched all the fuses.
Yeah.
And then it ran fine for a week. I could use the blinker, no problem. And now it's doing it again, whether you touch the fuses or not.
Left blinker, right blinker, or both?
Both.
Oof.
Jeez. This is payback for the easy one we had today.
And another thing, too, the light on the dash, that I guess it's like a light bulb with the X through it. I guess that means that...
That tells you have a taillight or a brake light out.
Okay, well, I don't.
That's all right. That's a feature that every Volvo has. If you put a non-factory bulb that has different resistance, that light will come on. That's nothing.
Well, you don't know that you don't have a bulb out, do you?
Yeah, we're trying to answer.
We're
doing the Ronald Reagan technique of answering the easy question.
No. There may be some relevance here, Your
there's
Honor.
There's no relevance.
This is to relevance,
there's,
Your Honor.
There's no,
this is to motive.
There's no relevance. Let's get right to the heart of the matter. We don't know the answer. but we're going to...
We have some speculation, though.
We are going to ask some very pointed questions.
Which are going to indicate that we have knowledge in this general area. Have you measured the resistance?
You say when you turn the blinkers on, do you drive this car only during the daytime?
No, I drive it at night.
How long has this problem been going on?
Well, it did it for a few days, then it didn't do it for a week after my husband touched each of the fuses.
Yeah. And when was the first incident? A month ago?
Oh, a few weeks ago. Yeah, and then it ran good for, 4 or 5 days. And then now for, a week or so, I can't turn the blinker on. Which makes it dangerous.
And let me just get this straight. When it happened and the car wouldn't start, you tried to restart the car. Was the blinker still in the on position?
Of course not.
No. I don't think so.
Answer this other question.
I don't know.
When you turn the blinker on, to get it to blink, and the alternator light came on and the car stalled, did the blinker work? I bet it didn't.
Oh,
this is an important question.
You don't remember if the blinker light came on too.
The what?
There's a little light on the dash indicating that the blinker is on.
The blinker light comes on.
The blinker light.
And did it blink? Did it go blink, blink?
Yeah, I think it blinked.
Oh, jeez.
It blinked. So it was it was blinking for one or two blinks before the engine conked out. Is that correct, ma'am?
Yeah. It blinks a few minutes, and the buzzing sound, and it jerks,
and then
a few seconds later, then it dies.
Are you sure? Are these your own thoughts, or is he leading the witness here?
No, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but.
Wow. This is a beauty.
I can't believe I have stumped you.
Well,
guys.
No,
no,
stop.
Yeah,
are you
stumped
kidding
us.
Me?
Yeah, we got lots of ideas. We're just
what's
trying to hold
wrong?
On.
I know
on
what's
the,
wrong.
On the,
oil is on the ripping off of the leaking valve cover onto the exhaust system.
We're trying to find the least incredible answer.
I think you have a shorted directional
good.
Flasher.
Mm.
Shorted directional flasher?
Yeah.
Oh, the flasher itself.
The flasher unit itself. That's where the buzzing is coming from.
Where is that on the car?
It's under the dash.
Underneath the dashboard.
Oh, no.
Isn't that where you hear the buzzing coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what's wrong. And that, for whatever reason, I don't know how that's tied into the charging system in this car, but I think that's what's conking the thing out.
Okay.
Try that. I mean,
it shouldn't cost too much, right?
Well, it's a Volvo.
It's a Volvo. I mean, any place else would cost 59 cents, so it's about 12 bucks.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Actually, I think it's about 112.
I think I'll just sell the car.
No, it's relatively inexpensive. But I think that's the thing I would try first.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking to try the stuff yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah, well,
I can tell you're not of a mind to take this to anyone.
No, I don't want to take it to anybody.
No, but have your husband, if he's of a mind, to put in a new flasher in, or you do it yourself.
Okay.
It's easy
well,
to do.
I bet we can handle it.
I think so.
Okay.
Good luck, Randall.
Well, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's time for us to take a little break, don't you figure?
Is this so the local stations can, like, identify themselves?
No. This is so local engineers can unplug the transmitter and blame it on sunspot activity.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute. If I had. And even though Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz clicks her heels four times whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. At CarMax, the best way to buy a car is your way. Shop on your schedule and choose from over 50,000 CarMax certified vehicles at CarMax.com. Check out 360-degree views, set up a trade-in appraisal, apply for financing, and buy online or in-store with curbside pickup and home delivery in select markets. Get all the details and start the search for your next car today at CarMax.com.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
And I had to...
I'm excited.
You should be. I had to re-obfuscate this. I thought Sue Alstead did a pretty good job, but I think I did a better job. So
of course.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, she wrote the following. I'm going to have winter tires put on my car. I bought four of them, and I'm moving soon, and since I'll be taking the car to a different shop to have them changed back next spring, the tires have to be marked so they can be put back where they belong, i.e., where they came from.
Yeah.
Okay, so the left front has to go the left front, the right front has to go there, the right, exactly, right? You got it? You ready?
I got it now,
okay.
Yeah.
So when I take them off, I'm going to mark them with letters, okay, or I'm going to ask the people at the gas station to mark them with letters.
Yeah.
So the question is, what's the smallest number of letters needed to mark my tires to guarantee that all four of them can get correctly installed with no chance of error or ambiguity in the spring when I take off the snows?
I'm with you.
Well, if you think you know the answer, write it on the underside of an authentic, full-sized Simpsons pinball machine by Stern, featuring a talking Homer head, Bart on a skateboard, and light up itchy and scratchy targets. And ship it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza.
That's all they need in the office.
Thank God no one sends us this stuff, because we'd be in trouble. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
You can?
You can.
But if
we'll get it.
But if you have a car question for us, we're here to help. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Kenny in Santa Monica.
Hi, Kenny.
How you
Santa
doing?
Santa Monica.
Right.
Yeah.
We've been there.
Sitting right there on the pier or what?
Exactly. I'm right here at the pier.
Excellent. Right on the merry-go-round?
I can see it from here.
Good.
What's up, Kenny?
Well, I got a Celica. With what I guess is a starter problem, but it makes a noise that's it makes me want to kill myself. It's got whenever I turn it on, just in the morning or any time at all, there's no conditions matter. Three times out of four, it makes a sound as if the engine was already on when you turn the key.
Oh, Kenny,
you know that one.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
No, you've correctly diagnosed everything.
Is that right?
Well, maybe not.
No.
It's unfortunate that it probably is going to cost you four times as much as a starter. But
oh, great.
The problem is starter related.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think it is, Ken?
Well, I've actually changed the starter three times, I think, in the past 125,000 miles. And it eventually always goes back to the same problem. The most interesting thing I found is if in the course of turning it, if I can't get it to turn over, if I get angry enough to just punch the steering column, it usually starts up right away.
Oh, yeah, that usually does.
Yeah.
We found that works most of the time, too.
I like to keep, like, a good-sized tire iron in the car just for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sometimes opening the hood and spitting on the engine works, too.
Serious epithets also seem to work pretty well.
Well, unfortunately, what I think you need, in fact, not what I think, what I know you need, is a flywheel.
Is this an automagic or a stick?
No, it's a stick.
It's unusual for it to happen with a manual shift, only because the flywheel is more substantial, and it takes a lot to chew up those teeth. Have you been in the habit of trying to start it when the engine was already running?
No, I make a habit of not doing that.
Yeah, that's good.
Does anyone else drive the car? I mean, these engines are pretty quiet.
Yeah, no, I could make the mistake, but I haven't. I'm pretty good.
We had a Lexus that we were test driving a while ago. Not that this is a Lexus, but...
That's for sure.
But it was so quiet that I ground that starter about 20 times, thinking that the engine was running and not realizing. And of course, the only way you really know is to look at the tachometer.
Ah.
Yeah, so you need to bite the bullet. Well, of course, you can just tough it out.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anything, right?
Well, it doesn't hurt anything that isn't already hurt.
Yeah.
Well, it'll eventually chew up that new starter, but that's probably been in there for 20,000 miles.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah,
it's got to chip away at my resale. It's not a good selling point.
It is not a good selling point,
Well, think about this alternative.
Yeah?
How many miles are on this car?
125,000.
Right. Exactly.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You just told us that. If you'd pay attention.
It was a test for Kenny. I wanted to see if he was going
to
change the
info. He was lying to us.
You could just never shut it off. I mean, when you think of how much it's going to cost you to put a new flywheel in, between the flywheel and the clutch and all that, it's going to cost you probably $800 plus.
Unfortunately, I don't have a garage. I'm here at the beach. I'm here at an outdoor lot. And if I leave it running, a minute, somebody else will own it.
All right, so here's what you do. You leave it running and you take $100 and you buy a Rottweiler. And you could probably, how much longer can this car last?
Well, I just calculated it. You could let it run for a year.
Really?
On the amount of money it's going to cost you to fix it. A year.
This is a very encouraging phone call.
Aren't you glad you called?
Yeah, I'm thrilled at that.
Yeah, I mean, there are cheaper ways to get it fixed. I mean, you might want to go to a junkyard.
Yeah.
No,
the trouble is that...
Fish around for a flywheel?
Well, it's all labor, though. See, that's the problem. You're not going to save much because so much of it is labor.
No, in fact, you don't even need the whole flywheel. All you need is what's called the ring gear.
I only need a couple of teeth off it, right?
But all you need is a couple of teeth, as a matter of fact.
Right, it's all you really need. Too bad they... Yeah, you need like a root canal, maybe.
you need more than a couple, though. If it's happening three times out of four, you need about three quarters of the teeth.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, it usually ends, oddly enough, the flywheel almost always stops in the same spot.
Impossible.
It does.
Exactly the same spot?
Pretty close.
How do you know that?
Impossible. He's nuts, Kenny.
You know that?
Pay no attention to him. I will do a study. But
it does not stop, as you might think. It does not stop as randomly as you might think.
It's the Wheel of Fortune. There's no way it can stop in the same place every time.
Kenny.
I mean, it's not. There's nothing to regulate that.
Kenny, not only did you waste your time calling us to get bad news about your car,
you
also got this wacko theory of my brother's. So this is not a good day for you.
Oh, well. Thanks for what help you gave me.
Well, what else you could do if you wanted to really cheap out is you could get a wrench and all you have to do is turn the flywheel 10 degrees and it'll start right up.
Is that why I've been told to roll the car a bit?
You could roll the car.
You have to roll the car, but it's got to be in gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't leave the key on.
Don't leave the key on. It might start up and run away.
Right.
But if you put it in a nice high gear, like fifth, and just give it a little shove, it'll start. So you almost never will get stuck.
Oh, you're talking about, you mean just bump start?
No. What you want to do is you want to put it in gear, push the car with the key off to get after you've ascertained that it's grinding.
See, that will move the flywheel away from the bad teeth.
Gotcha.
And then you start it, and it will mostly start.
Right, because you only have one bad spot on your flywheel. We know that because the flywheel always stops pretty much the same spot all the time.
So when I decide to sell this clunker,
leave it running.
Make sure that I get the guy to help me push it.
There you go.
Right.
Good luck.
Good luck, Kenny.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Maggie from Round Lake, New York.
Round Lake.
Yes.
Is it a round lake?
Yeah, from the air, it's pretty round.
Was it formed by a meteor?
I understand
the Department of Public Works.
Thousands of years ago, I guess there was a glacier here. And when it all melted away, Round Lake was left.
Oh, so it's that kind of a lake. What do they call? There's a special name for those kinds of lakes.
Glacial Lake. I don't know.
It'll come to me. Anyway, what's going
Lake
on?
Flaccid.
Oh, God.
What's up, Meg?
Okay, well, my mother recently graciously donated her 1992 Buick Custom Regal. Wait, Buick Regal Custom to my son, my 16-year-old son. When we first got it in March, I guess it was fine. But lately, when you start accelerating, and especially if there's a slight incline in the road, it starts to shudder, vibrate mm-hmm. real violently. And it originally only lasted a few seconds. But since then, it's gotten progressively worse. It's gotten progressively longer, and it just shakes so hard.
And does it ever, if you continue trying to climb a hill, will it shudder all the way up to the top of the hill?
Yep. And at first I thought that was the whole shebang, but now it seems to, like, even after you crest the hill, it's still shuddering. I mean, it could last 30, 45 seconds.
So it shudders, let me get this right, if you're accelerating or even trying to maintain constant speed.
It seems to die out when you finally peaked your speed, like around 65 if you're on the highway.
Well, it sounds like your mother got rid of this just in time.
Jimmy, it sounds like a classic case of no power.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you could. I mean, my first reaction.
Yeah, I had a first reaction also.
Which is usually right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's got more of a chance of being right than the second, third, or fourth reaction.
What was your first reaction?
Is that it had a cylinder that isn't firing.
Exactly mine.
That it was missing, and you would most notice it when you were trying to accelerate, up a hill especially.
Uh-huh.
My feeling is exactly as my brother's. It's running on five cylinders.
Oh.
And maybe now, since it's getting worse, maybe it's four.
The mileage must be great, though.
So what could it be if it's running on five cylinders? Well, could be something as simple as a spark plug.
Or a bad spark plug wire.
Oh.
And you can take it to the shop, and they can, you know, pull out the plugs and take a look, and they're going to find one, I think, that's all fouled. Not to alarm you, mm-hmm. but it could be something else. For example, you could have an axle ready to break, or a ball joint ready to fall off, or a tie rod in that's bad. If you take it to the shop and they say, well, the engine's fine, it's running on all six cylinders, then make sure they look at all the safety stuff.
Okay.
Because
And in the meantime, I wouldn't try to drive it at 65. I wouldn't drive it over, like, 25.
Uh-huh.
And especially with a 16-year-old son, because they have no judgment whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
They have brains of a weevil.
More than that, he has no experience to draw on. I'm reminded of remember the day we were, what was that stuff we put on my driveway? The driveway sealer.
Sealer.
And my son Andrew, who's a smart kid, I see him coming from about a half a mile away down the street with smoke pouring out from under the hood. I mean, more smoke than you could ever possibly imagine. And he pulls up in front of the house, and to anyone else, it would look like the car were on fire. And I said, Drew, what are you doing, man? Not knowing what was wrong with the car, I could only have assumed the worst.
Don't mention any names here.
No?
No. I mean, no. Why should it? No.
Sonny.
You have two sons.
Sonny.
Let's blame it the other one. Let people wonder.
And I said, weren't you worried? And he said, why?
Why would I be worried, he said.
He said, I didn't know what to worry about.
Well, because the car was on fire.
He said, oh,
you fathead.
He said, the car wasn't on fire as far as I could tell. It was just smoking.
Yeah.
And he said, the engine seemed to run and the brakes seemed to work.
And what else do you
and
want?
I decided that there was no safer place than home.
Oh.
And I reminded him that, you know, he could have been leaking oil and could have melted the engine trying to get home. And he said, oh,
Yeah, I suppose. But he didn't know. So your son doesn't know when things are vibrating, shaking, making noise. He doesn't know that it's out of the ordinary.
Well, actually, he was disturbed because this is now his baby. Sean is in love with the car and can't wait to replace the stereo system and everything else.
Yeah. Don't forget, as much as you love him and as intelligent as he may seem, he's 16 years old and he's a moron.
Oh.
Right. Don't forget that.
Don't forget that.
Hey, at least now I've got someone to back me up that he doesn't know everything, because as far as he's concerned, I know nothing.
That's the worst kind of moron there is.
The most dangerous.
Can I just ask you to back me up on one other thing?
Sure.
He's crazy about snowboarding, and he's got it in his head that this coming winter, because he'll have his license and he'll have his wheels, that he and his buddies, he'll be able to drive up to the various ski resorts an hour and a half, 2 hours away to go snowboarding and up in the Adirondacks and what have you. And I'm basically saying, in your dreams.
No, it sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, Maggie.
He'll have a few
thanks
miles.
A lot.
Well, he's got to do that.
He'll have a few miles under his belt by then. And if he has a friend with a four-wheel drive vehicle, I would suggest that they use that kid's car.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, get him 4 snow tires and a good skateboard and make sure his health insurance is paid up.
Because don't forget, too, I mean, you live in New York and the kid's been riding around with you for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he has seen snow.
Yeah.
He knows what snow is.
Yeah.
But don't trust him.
Because
the first time it snows, he will do the stupidest thing you could ever imagine. You won't even be able to, you wouldn't be able to predict it in your wildest dreams. Well, of course I had to accelerate going down the hill backwards. I mean, who knows what he'll do?
Yeah.
And I have to quote my son, who the day he turned 20 said to me, "You were right. Teenagers should not be allowed to drive."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now he can say it.
So he waited. He waited until he was the day he was 20 to tell me that.
But you got to hear him. You lived to hear him say.
I lived
you
to
were
hear
right.
him say it.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
And more importantly, he lived to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
See you, Maggie.
And that was a close call.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Bye bye now.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the scenic route, bean sprout, brook trout, pig snout, sauerkraut, and Guinness stout, anti-gout, pig-out, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. Our staff acupuncturist is O. Howard Hertz. And our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our student consultant is Norm DePlume. Our dermatologist for teenagers is Don Pickett. Our coordinator of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the schwitzing tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And I've got a suggestion.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love.
Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though EPA scientists in biohazard suits wave people away from their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.